Good morning. We've been discussing the issue of what happens when the parties want to go to different batei din and a zavla. So the Yid from Eretz Yisrael was going around collecting. He said over a very nice var b'shem Rav Chaim Brim. So the pasuk tells us that malva Hashem choine indal. That a person that is choine indal, a person that gives tzedakah, is a malva Hashem. It's like he's lending money to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And pasuk pshat, it means when you lend money, you get it back. And therefore, the pasuk is telling us that you can give tzedakah and you're assured that ultimately you will receive the money in return. So we ask, what's this language of malva Hashem? You're a malva, you're a creditor. Just say that a person who gives tzedakah will get the money back. So he says, based on the halacha that we've been learning over the past few weeks, that if there is a machloikis between the parties, we're to go to a din Torah. The loiva says, I want to be dan beir, I want to deal with it in the city. The malva says, or the teveya says, I'd like to go to the bezin hagadol, to the makam havad. So halacha is that eved loiva lish malva. The malva prevails, and he gets to choose the venue, he gets to choose where the din Torah will take place. Zogar b'chaim brim, we all know at some point that there's going to come a day where we're going to have a cheshbon with the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's possible that at that point the HaKadosh Baruch Hu will say that this has to be settled when I'm on the Kisei Hadin, with the Midas Hadin. You're going to respond that no, I want to deal with it in the Kisei Rachamim. Zok Reb Chaim Rim, Milva Hashem Chayne Dal, a person who gives tzedakah is considered a Malva HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And since the din is Holchan Acher Teveya, that the Malva is the one that chooses which venue had to deal with the matter, therefore in the Schus of Tzedakah, a person can be Teveya and can demand that he be dealt with the Midas HaRachamim. Now last week we discussed the concept of a Zabla, Zeboyer Lo Yachad. If the people cannot choose or cannot agree upon a regular Bezdin, then they do Zeboyer Lo Yachad, Zeboyer Lo Yachad. Each party chooses one dayan to be his boyer, and the two boyerim, and with the input of the Baal Edinim as well, together choose a shlish, they choose a third impartial dayan to deal with the matter. Now, we discussed last week a number of the chisroinos that exist in the way Zablo is practiced today. We mentioned that the Dine Torah tend to take much longer. There's no Safra Dedaino. There's no one coordinating in the Dayanim schedules. Dayanim do not work together on a regular basis. So things tend to schlep a lot longer than in a regular Din Torah. In addition, we mentioned even from the times of the Rishayim, there was considerable debate or differences in practice how far a Boirer could go for his tzad. As a matter of halacha, he clearly has to paskin kefiya emes. He has to paskin based on who what he thinks is right, regardless of which side hired him. But in practice, unfortunately, there are boyerim today that feel that they act like tayinim, and this is nothing new. The Rosh talks about the chaseri hadas that were toya b'dvar Rashi and did that, and unfortunately, these people are still around today. Another drawback is that the process is usually considerably more expensive than a regular Din Torah. When you go to a regular Bezdin, depending on the Bezdin, depending on where it's located, typically they charge $200 to $300 per hour per side. Each boyer typically charges that. So you end up with 50% more right over there because you're paying your boyer that, plus you're paying half of the cost of the shlish. On top of that, because very often the boyerim or the shlish are from different cities, you're paying for travel time, which is another significant expense. Also, the fact that it takes longer, because things tend to schlep out longer, that the clock is ticking. So it ends up being significantly more expensive to go to a zabla than to a regular bezdin. A zabla also has a tendency, or more of a tendency, to make a pshara. Because of the three boyerim, each there's a certain negiyos on each side, and regardless of how the boyer is acting, how hard he's pushing to his side, but there's a tendency for sort of to throw a bone to each party, and you're more likely to end up with a pshara than going mikar hadin. Lastly, when there is a psak from a zabla, it is more difficult to enforce it. When you have a regular bezdin, it issues a psak, so the bezdin is motivated and is going to make sure the parties are mekayim the psak. when you have a boirus and there's a psak against one particular party, so very often the boirer for the side that lost is drags his feet, is not especially motivated to come down hard on his side, and therefore it just tends to schlep out. It's much more difficult to actually get closure, to actually get the psak din enforced. Now, if there are all these drawbacks, why are zablos so popular? So there are two basic reasons. The first reason is there are limited cases where there is a mila for a zablo. When you're dealing with a din Torah which requires a psak in dollars and cents, so then you're almost always better off going to a regular bezdin. However, you have some situations where it's not only a question of dollars and cents. If you have a partnership, if you have a relationship where the psak din is not just Reuven owes Shimon X amount of dollars, the bezdin has to work out an arrangement for the partnership, for the neighbors, for whatever the situation. They have to work out an arrangement, a practical arrangement, for the parties to abide by going forward. It is very difficult for a bezdin to do that without input from the parties. And if you call the parties, if the parties are in front of a din Torah, in a regular din Torah, where both parties are in front of you, very often people are a little bit hesitant. They're uncomfortable to really tell the truth or to give all the background, all their personal information, because their counterparty is in the room next to them, and it changes the dynamics of the negotiations. In these cases, where there's going to be a negotiated settlement or a lot of mediation going back and forth, there's often an advantage to have each boirer will speak to his side, clarify the position. It'll be easier for them to be more honest, more forthcoming with their boirer because they trust them, and that way the bezdin will have a better idea of what's going on behind the scenes. So in such cases where there's going to be a lot of negotiations and the settlement is not just dollars and cents, there is an advantage for the dayanim having some channels of communication outside the formal tainas in front of the bezdin. Now this does happen in regular bezdin. What happens in these cases is the bezdin will get permission from the parties to speak to each party separately, which very often that permission is granted, and that's what's done. However, once that happens, that already also, that taints the process. You might be better off just going to a zabla where there's one boyer speaks to one side, the other boyer speaks to his side. So that's one particular case where there is an advantage to a boyerus. The more prominent reason is when people have a din Torah, when people are involved in a sechsech, they generally get their advice from Tayyana. They don't speak to their rabbi, they call Tayyana and ask what to do. Now for the Tayyanim, boyerus has a tremendous advantage. Number one, because it will take so much longer, because it will schlep out, it will be hours and hours and sessions and sessions and sessions, so the clock is ticking. The Tayyanim will make a lot more money off the din Torah, and therefore they have every incentive to push their party, their clients, to a boirus instead of a regular din Torah. It's just more lucrative for them. They also have an advantage that the Tayyanim very often have a particular boirus that they work with, that they have a relationship with, and therefore, when it goes to a boirus, where the Tayyan is the liaison to a certain extent between the party and the boirer, so the Tayyan is adding value. He has a better idea of what's going on. He has a better idea of where the bezdin is heading, and it makes life much easier for the Tayyan. So while it's certainly true, if you're a Tayyan and you want to know what to do, you're at least financially better off by pushing a boirus, this advice is generally not for the benefit of the Baal Din, but unfortunately, Baal Dinim don't know better. They're turning to their Tayin for advice, and that is how most people get stuck in a boirus. Most of the horror stories that are floating around that you hear about Batei Din involve cases of boirus. Because of the many issues that we mentioned, people do not have a very high satisfaction rate, and it's something which, if at all you have any way of avoiding, you certainly should try to avoid a boirus. If you are stuck, if their parties simply can't agree on a bezdin, in the very least, you should do what we mentioned last week, and that is insist that it be done al pi halacha, that each boirer, the boirer should not speak to their parties, eshlei b'fnei zeh.
Does the Tayyan
So, again, to summarize, Zabla is generally not a good idea. Sometimes you're stuck with it, but if you could avoid it, it's usually, even if you're being offered a bezdin that you would rather not go to, within reason, it's usually kedai to make some sort of compromise in the bezdin than to go to Zabla. But again, each case is different. So now let's move on. You have your issue. You try to go to a regular bezdin. You end up getting stuck with the boyrus. Can you do? You go to the Bayerus. Sure enough, you lose the case. So the next step in the process is people very often, when they lose a case, they want to know why. The Psak Din very often will just say, it'll basically just say what the halacha is. Reuven owes Shimon X amount of dollars. Does Reuven have the right to demand an explanation? What are the reasons for the psak? What is the basis how did the Bezdin reach this particular verdict? So over here we have two Gemaras, which according to the Rashba comes out that there are two related but different issues that we have to deal with. The first Gemara, which is Gemara that we learned that we had last week, is Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Lamed Aleph. The Gemara over there is discussing the issue of what happens when the dispute, which Bezdin to go to. So the Gemara says that in a typical case where if the Malva wants to stay local and the Loiva says, I want to go to the Makam Havad, then you can force the Loiva to deal with it locally. But Zakta Gemara, Vim Amar Kisvu Tanulim Ezatam Dantuni. If the Loiva loses the case and he demands an explanation, he says, I want to know why you ruled against me. The halacha is Kaisvim Vinoistim Lai. The Bezdin has an obligation to give him the reasons for the psak. Now, Tosis explains that this is only in this particular case where the Nitzvah did not want to go to this Bezdin. The Nitzvah said, I don't trust the local Bezdin. I want to go to the Makam Avad. I want to go to a Bezdin that's more competent. He does not have the right to do so. He does not have the right to pull the Malva to another city. That's what we discussed last week and 2 weeks ago. However, when he didn't want to be here in the first place, you forced him to appear in front of your Bezdin, then he has the right to say, it's true. You can force me to have the litigation here, but you have to write the reasons for the psak, and this way I can take the reasons. I can go to the Makom Havad, I can go to the Bezdin HaGadol, I can have them review the psak. And this way, if it turns out that in fact the psak was incorrect, I'll be able to overturn it, and I'll be able to undo the psak din. Now, in halacha, it's clear that when there is a psak, you have to listen to the psak first. You don't have the right to say, I want to go appeal, I want to go to this bezin, that you have to honor the psak. But you have the right to demand the reasons, and if it comes out the bezin made a mistake, you will have the right to undo the psak then.
Does that mean you have to pay right away?
Yes, you have to pay right away. You can say, I don't want to pay, since I have the right to go to another bezin, and maybe you're wrong, I don't want to have to pay. There's no stay on the psak din until you file your appeal. You have to pay right away, but then you have the right. You have the reasons for the psak. You have it in writing. You can go to another the bezin hagadol, and you can have them double check the psak and see if it was correct. No. Love that. It means any case where you're forced to go to a bezin that you didn't want to. That's the Hataisis of learns. Now, there is a bit of a machlokes what it means to be forced. You know, the Yehuda learns, any time you came to Bezdin because a hazmana was sent, you qualify for this halacha. You didn't voluntarily come to Bezdin. You had to be called. You had to be called to Bezdin. According to the Yehuda, if a hazmana is sent, the parties have the right to demand, write the reasons, I want to be able to appeal it. However, the Panim Mishpat argues, he's medayik from a number of Rishonim. He says no. He says it's only when you wanted to go to a different Bezdin. The Malva wanted to go to this Bezdin, and because of the various Cheshbainis, you were forced to come to the Bezdin that you didn't want to go to. In that case, the Panim Mishpat says, you have the right to say, you forced me to come here, I deserve an explanation. However, if a Hazmana was sent, and you could have gone out, you had no objection, you didn't say, I want to go somewhere else, this was your Bezdin of choice, there the Panim Mishpat says, you lose your right to claim, to demand reasons. Right. Mikar halacha is somewhat like the Noyi Bihuda that's brought down in the Pesachei Tshuva, but I'll call upon him. There is a machlokas over here. Comes out right now that if a person voluntarily goes to a bez and he's makabel, you don't have this right. But in a case where he was forced to come to the Beis Din, he has the right to demand the psak in writing, so he could appeal and he can show it to a Beis Din Agadah. Now this right is predicated on the fact that a psak din is not final. That if a Beis Din issues a psak, if they made a mistake, you have the right to go to a Beis Din Agadah. You have the right to go to a Beis Din where himchu rabim aleihem, and that Beis Din will review the original Beis Din's psak. And if they're wrong, they will overturn it. And as a matter of halacha, that's true. A psak din, if it's mistaken, it can be overturned. Not only can it be overturned, the dayanim that paskened wrong, in many cases, are personally liable for the loss. Sometimes it's midin mazik, because by issuing a wrong psak, they caused a loss to the counterparty. And sometimes it's a knas. It's a knas. Chazal wanted the dayanim to be liable to make sure that they were very careful before they issued a psak. They are dealing with other people's money, and they have to have skin in the game, if you will. And therefore, in many cases, they have liability in order to make sure that they take the entire seriously and are very careful before they issue a psak. So al pi din, every din Torah can be overturned. Every psak can be overturned if it's mistaken. And that is why, if you're forced to come here, you have the right to say, give me the reason so I can go to another Beis Din and see if this is correct or not, so I can overturn it if appropriate. Now, although this is Medina de Gemara, and there's no machlokes about it, in practice today in the United States, virtually every Beis Din, when you sign an arbitration agreement, it includes a waiver that you will, three waivers. Number one, it says you are waiving the right to demand the psak and the reasons for the psak in writing. Number two, you are waiving your right to go to another Beis Din to overturn the psak. And number three, in the case of an error, you are waiving any claims against the dayanim. So essentially, you are being forced to waive rights that you have al pi halacha to make the psak enforceable. Why is this done? So it's done for a number of reasons, but quite frankly, none of them are halakhic reasons, they're all practical reasons. The first reason is for legal purposes. If you have an arbitration agreement that is not final, so what I've been told is that an arbitration award that is not final, that can be appealed within the system, is not binding legally. It has to be a final award. And therefore, if a psak din is still open to review by other dayanim, by other batei din, then you will not be able to get the psak din confirmed. Since when people go to a Beis Din, they're going because they want the psak to be enforceable, waiving this right is a necessary evil, because otherwise they may win the din Torah, but they're not going to be able to enforce it if the person chooses not to comply. Now, interestingly, there is one Beis Din, at least that I know of in the United States, that has an appeal process. But to deal with this legal issue, it's the Beis Din of America, they have an appeal process, but they limit it. You can file an appeal within their Beis Din. They have basically an appeals court, if you will, where if you feel the psak was an error, you can file an appeal within a certain amount of time to them, and they will review it, and if necessary, they will modify the psak. But an open-ended, to give people the right to go ahead and just overturn the psak because it's wrong in halacha, that would make it unenforceable. So that is the Divrei Chaim that says, that if a person says, I'm willing to sign a shtar berurim, but I don't want it to be legally enforceable. Divrei Chaim says, that's called Masar Avodin. Because today, since the Batei Din do not have any enforcement mechanisms, saying I don't want to sign the legal documents that will be legally enforceable is a Masarev. No. So Eretz Yisrael, they have a completely different system. In Eretz Yisrael, the Batei Din have legal authority. There are specific laws setting up a Beis Din and giving a kayach to Beis Din. However, there are completely different laws, and they are adarabah. The government will only recognize a psak din if you have the ability to appeal it. And therefore, in Eretz Yisrael, legally they have to have a protocol, they have to have transcripts or recordings of the entire session, and the parties have to be given the ability to appeal this psak din. They now they take the transcripts, they take the recording. They will go to the Bezdin Hagadol. The Rabbanut has a Bezdin Hagadol that handles these appeals, and that's a requirement for it to be enforceable. And therefore, what happens there is very different. There that you don't have these waivers, and they do have the ability to appeal, and it does happen. If you want it to be enforceable, then if you don't care about the government, you're willing to do things privately in a bezdin, and you can do whatever you want. But if you want it to have legal backing, you want the court, the bagatz to enforce the psak din as an arbitration award, you have to follow the protocols and the requirements of the arbitration laws.
So this is the bezdin, would have to be appealable to the bezdin to be enforceable.
Correct. You can imagine this causes all sorts of interesting situations, but that's not for now. So the first point is a legal issue that if you allow it to be appealable, then the psak will not be enforceable in court. So this is the first gemara. You have the right to demand that if you are forced in front of a bezdin and you lose, you have the right to say, give me the reasons. Now, many learn that when the bezdin gives the psak in writing, they do not have to explain the basis for the psak. They have to summarize what the tainas were, the facts, and they have to write their psak. They do not have to go ahead and prove how they arrived at it. And the reason is simple. If the point over here is simply to allow the person to file an appeal, to go to a bezdin hagadol that knows halacha even better and ask them what they would do, so then the bezdin, they do not have to try to convince anybody of anything. They just have to, these are the arguments, this is the maskana. Take that to the Bezdin HaGadol. Bezdin HaGadol will don the case on their own, and either they'll agree with the maskana or they won't agree with it. But to explain the proofs, that, according to this gemara, you do not have to do. Because the point is simply to have a record. These were the tainas, these were the facts, this is the maskana. And that is all a Bezdin HaGadol needs in order to see whether this is correct in halacha or not. So that's the sugya in Sanhedrin. But then there's another gemara in Bava Metzia, which we had in today's Maror Mekoymos, how you had two partners, two people who did business together. At one point, one of them decided he had enough. There was money in the accounts. He took half the money and said, okay, the partnership's over. Came to Bezdin later, and the other partner did not want the partnership to be dissolved. Said, so the Bezdin agreed with the first partner. He said, if it's cash, 50-50 partners, you took half, you left the other person half, everything's fine. A while later, the same two people had another partnership. They were partners in wine. And again, the same partner, the other partner at this point decided he had enough of his partner. He went ahead, he took half the wine, and he went out on his own and said the partnership's over. His partner was not happy. He did not want this partnership to be dissolved. He brought the fellow to Bezdin. And the Bezdin of Paskin, he had no right to dissolve the partnership. Who gave you the right to unilaterally, without the other person, just go ahead, take half the wine, and dissolve the partnership? So over here, the Gemara says like this. The Gemara says, "Hi, Gavna, Vadi, Tzarek, Lo Yidui." Actually, no. So what happened? So the Baal Din said like this. Last time I was here, my partner took half the money, and you said what he did was fine. Now I'm here, I took half the wine, I dissolved the partnership, and now you're saying I didn't have the right to do that. I see, you have an agenda over here. You don't like me. So the Gemara says, Amar of Papa, Kahai Gavna Vade Tzarek Lo Yiduye. In such a case, where the person feels there's an agenda, he feels that you're out to get him, you have to Yimodiyah him, you have to explain to him the reasons for the psak. And the Gemara explains, Zuzi Mishokol Tavi Vishavik, Chasri Chamra Kulayama Yadi De'ikah B'dibasis De'ikah D'loibasis. So the Gemara says that he explained to him that cash is the same. There's no difference. You have $10,000. There's no difference between this bill or that bill. So you have the right to just divide it. Wine, there are different qualities. One can be fresher than the other. And therefore, you can't unilaterally just go ahead and take half and say, this is my chilek. But you see that what the Gemara is saying is that when you have a psak din that looks strange, when you have a psak din that a reasonable person would say, you're out to get me. This makes no sense. Last time you told me they could divide. Now when I do it, you tell me you suddenly change your mind. In that case, the Gemara says there's a chiv on the Bezdin to justify themselves, to explain to the parties how they reached this conclusion. Now the way the Rashba understands it, this is a completely different sugya than what we discussed before. What we discussed before was, if you're forced in front of the Beis Din that you don't want to go to, you have the right to appeal it. To be able to appeal it, we have to summarize what the issues were, what the psak was, and now you have that in writing. Go ahead, you can show it to another Beis Din, figure out if it's true or not. This is a separate issue. This is an issue if the Beis Din issues a psak that looks strange to people, where there's makom that for a person to think that the Beis Din has an agenda and is biased, the Beis Din al tzviyisim nikiyim has to explain it. They have to explain what the reasons for the psak were, and that way the person would understand it better and will not be choshesh the Beis Din. Oh, it's like this. The Rabbi Yosef says that this halacha, the Beis Din has to justify himself, is only in this case. Where what the Beis Din seemed to have done in two cases seemed to have been a flat-out contradiction. The first time, when the first person split the partnership, he said, no problem. You want to split it, split it. Then when the other person split the partnership, he said, no, you need the partner's consent. So there's something that doesn't make sense on its surface. There's malkum for a chashan, ki hai gav natzarech leiduyin. Zog the Rabbi Yosef. If you have a regular din Torah, and Beis Din passes in one way, it's not a strange psak, it's one person's right, one person's wrong. That happens by every din Torah. And Zok the Yosef, in that case, the person starts going ahead and starts arguing with the Beis Din, says, put him in Chayrim. You went to these people because you knew they were Tamidei Chachamim. You went to them because these are the ones whose judgment in halacha you trusted. And now, simply because it went the other way, you're going ahead and saying it's wrong? He says, we don't have to address it. But in this case, where the psak is taka emilsa de tmiya, it seems to be soiser itself, in such a case, that is when this obligation to give the reasons for the psak applies. And now this has nothing to do with kfiya. Even though in this case they came voluntarily, and therefore if they said, I want to appeal it, I want you to give it in writing, the Beis Din can say, no, you're here, you came voluntarily, there's no din of appealing. But because the psak is something that looks strange or it sounds strange, the Beis Din has to justify, the Beis Din has to explain the reasons. This halacha is fairly limited because it's only when the psak is a milsa d'tmiya. In other words, if the Beis Din will paskin something and then they will retract the psak, that's something which they would have to justify what happened. Meikara mekasavar, lipsayit mekasavar. What happened that they would change their mind? But a typical case where two parties come in, they issue a psak because this is a halacha, this halacha would not apply. It's only when it's an unusual psak, it's a psak that people would reasonably question, then they would have to give the reasons.
Does someone have the right to know all the other
people? Now, it comes out there are two separate halachas. There's one halacha of writing down the tainas and the psaks to be able to appeal, and that we mentioned is not relevant today. A second reason is explaining for the reasons for the psak. That is a right that exists only when it's an unusual psak. It's something which would cause people to be matzmiya. Now, typically on the shtar bruin that people saw and what they didn't have, there's a fourth waiver, and that is you waive your right to ask me'ezetam dantuni. Again, there's no real halachic reason not to give reasons, and I'm not completely convinced it's wise not to give reasons. But they didn't usually do not like doing it also for a number of practical reasons. Again, there's none of them is really an alpi halacha, but there's a feeling that if you start giving reasons, you open yourself up to debate. Then the person says, no, but I learned the Rashi like this, I learned the Rashi like that. It makes it less likely for the parties to fulfill the psak. Because once you give them a pesach, they say, oh, you held the Rashi like this, I held you made a mistake, and therefore I don't want to listen to you. It just drags things out and makes it less likely to be niskayim. The idea of going to a din Torah is to have closure, and that's why but they didn't like avoiding giving the tamim.